Welcome to ET First Contact Radio on BBS Station 1. Today it's the 2nd of May 2011, the start of the second night of the Universal Cycle of the Mayan Calendar. And I have two very special guests today, Gregory and Wendy Zangari. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. How are you, Martin?
I'm doing well. Wonderful. Thank you. And welcome to the show, Gregory and Wendy.
Thank you.
I understood that you are husband and wife, and you have a wonderful website, Wendy.
Oh, thank you very much. I actually just started it a month ago. Steve Becka was the one who inspired all of us to go out on our own and start our own blogs.
Yes, I must tell you that I have been reading on your website since I knew about it, because you contacted me via Facebook, I think.
Yes, it was.
Amazing how we can get connected all around the globe.
And I know we're in Philadelphia in the United States, and you're in the Netherlands. It's amazing.
Yes, and BBS Radio is in California.
Yeah,
all connected.
Amazing in and of itself. It's all over the place, all over the map, and everybody can talk in this world with this new technology for free. It's amazing.
Yes, and we can all share this wonderful information. As soon as Salusa posts something or anybody comments on it, on Steve Becko or on your site, We can all share it on Facebook and read it. And it's amazing how many people are getting informed nowadays.
Oh, I know. Just the other day, someone had guided us to Above Top Secret, and they're actually a set of people in Above Top Secret that are talking about this, that are feeling awakened and feeling vibrations and things changing and not knowing exactly what's going on, but they know that they're coming into this higher consciousness or higher vibration of awareness.
Yes, exactly. I know the website. I know Above Top Secret. It's a good blog.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, Wendy, as I was understanding from the About Us section on your website, which I also shared on Facebook, of course, that you are starting to write, we are getting ready for the shifting of Earth, Gaia, to awaken our spirit to a higher level frequency of soul. And this is, of course, the core where it's all about. It's all about ascension. And you wrote that you were born as a starseed and that your home is Orion. Well, I must tell you something funny. I live in Rotterdam in a center, an anthroposophical center, and it is called Orion.
Yes, I actually was reading, Greg and I were reading about your site and what you do, and I find it actually very amazing what you do. In addition, as well as it being called Orion, which is kind of interesting. Do you know why that the place of your employment is called that? Or,
well, I must tell you, Orion is the name of the center, and the house where I live is called Aquarius. And of course, we are heading towards the age of Aquarius. Excuse me, but Orion is a name that was chosen by anthroposophical people. I don't know if you are aware of what anthroposophy is and who was the founder. The founder was Rudolf Steiner, who was a psychic himself. And he died, I think, just after the Second World War. But he was a man who was very aware of what was going to happen in 2012. And he brings Eastern and Western philosophy and spirituality together. Together with a healthy lifestyle, like organic food and this kind of things.
Funny that you mentioned that. I actually, my husband and I watched a movie, Food Inc., earlier this year, and it changed our views on everything. We eat solely organic now. We've been eating organic for about, two, three months now. And, we don't buy anything that's not organic. I mean, even the chicken, you know, we were noticing that the hormones in the chicken were not, it was just the chicken size was just not normal. And these are things that is going to get us to a higher consciousness. These are the simpler things. That people have to understand that this is not just about all of us as a collective consciousness. This is about us as individuals as well, taking care of ourselves and our beings and our souls. And in that manner, we have to eat organic. We were not meant to eat meat. We were not, animals have souls. Go ahead.
No, you're completely right. I completely concur with you. And all life is sacred, so we are not allowed to kill. It's building up karma if we eat meat. That's what I think.
I think.
But there's so many people recently that we've interacted with that said for some reason in the past couple of months they stopped eating red meat. Some people are only eating fish. Some have stopped altogether. So it's very interesting, the awakening that's occurred just since January this year, because that's when I, around the time I woke up, and just the lifestyle changes we've made since then were really significant and really amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I must tell you that not only people are waking up since January, I have noticed it myself, Gregory, but the consciousness is rising of many people. And some people are really staying in the third dimension. They don't want to come with us. And
But most of the people that are sensitive, I feel that they are waking up.
Yeah, agreed.
I agree. I mean, I've had, you know, metaphysical teachings from my mother ever since I was a little girl. My mom used to do astrology charts, and used to do palm readings and tarot card readings and things of that nature. You know, she's done mine. She's predicted many things that have happened and, were to happen in the future. And, they later happened. You know, so these are things that, I truly have believed in ever since I was a child. I lived across the street from the cemetery, growing up. But mind you, this cemetery, it had like man-made waterfalls, man-made bridges. They had 3 ponds in there for the ducks, so you can go in and feed the ducks. It was truly a place of peace and almost of like heaven, if you will. A lot of people that were buried there were Vietnam veterans. So when I was a child, I would hear a lot of voices in my head. It was racing thoughts of people constantly talking to me, people constantly, you know, trying to get through to me all at once. And, you know, by 10 years old, I was in therapy, you know, because I thought I was crazy.
And you learn to protect yourself and to close up for some dimensions and to open just when it's needed.
Oh, absolutely. I've learned as I've grown in my life, you know, I'm almost 40 and, you know, in my life, I've gone through experiences that have, you know, made me gain more spirituality, more, knowledge of my own sixth sense, my own intuition, my own truths, if you will. Because I am I'm the kind of person that it's like I can look through somebody. A lot of people don't like hanging around with me because of that, because I can see through them. If, in fact, they are, you know, lying or whatever the fact may be. So I'm very intuitive that way. Plus, I also communicate with my father, my mother, and my late fiancé that was killed in the Rhode Island nightclub fire in 2003.
Yeah, I read that on your website, Wendy. I was just going to mention that when you were saying that some people, I guess, don't feel comfortable being around you because you see through them. But you know what is the beautiful thing that will await us after ascension? According to Salusa and Sheldon Neidl, in the higher dimensions, everybody will be in contact with each other's thoughts, and there will be no lies. Lies can just not exist in the higher dimensions. So you are just one of the early ones that is ready for this reality. And I think a beautiful future awaits you when everybody will be like you. It's just you are ahead of most people, and we have to get to your level and even higher. We'll all go higher after ascension, of course, but that's just how I see it.
Yeah, and we all grow with our experiences and what we go through in life as well. And, you know, and it brings you closer to God. Now, I've spoken to God my whole life. Funny thing is I never knew he heard me until recently. So it was just all my life I've had revelations, and it just goes one step further of the knowledge that I already currently had. So I've had revelations throughout my life, and, you know, this was just the icing on the cake, if you will.
Would you say something about your recent revelations?
What is that?
Could you share with the listeners something about your recent revelations? Is something you would like to share about it?
Well, I mean, what do you mean? As far as what I think might happen, as far as what's going to be going on from now on, now going forward? Well, my thoughts are this. There are a lot of dates being thrown around. And I don't believe that there can be a set date. And the reason is because, and I can say that they can say it's around that date or around, you know, 2012, December 21st, 2012. You know, and then somebody else has this notion that on May 21st, 2011, something's going to happen. You know, there apparently it's Judgment Day, but that is not true. There are signs actually all over the United States, billboards, actually one right before the exit on Route 95 coming to our house is a huge billboard saying Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. And I laugh.
That's Christian insanity.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there are these people in these trucks running around the United States or the world or wherever posting this nonsense. So that I think is nonsense. As far as like December 21st, 2012, yeah, I think that something could happen at that point, but I think that we're on our way. And I think that each day as time goes on, everybody's level of consciousness will get a little bit higher. The vibrations, on this planet will get a little bit higher. Everybody will love more. Everybody will, you know, share and give and, you know, be with everybody as one. And there will be no money involved. And, you know, for instance, I'll give you an example. My neighbor, I fixed computers. Well, his computer was broken and he needed it fixed. So I went over to his house and I spent about a week and I fixed his computer. I didn't ask anything. I said, well, you know what? My husband, we're trying to sell his motorcycle and it needs a tune-up and you're a mechanic. Can you, if we buy the parts for the tune-up, can you put them in? He said, sure. So that was our trade. We didn't have any money involved. It was just a handshake, no paper, nothing. Yes. And that's the way the world should be.
Right. Well, that sounds beautiful. And when you were saying something will happen on 21st of December 2012, did you mean ascension?
Well, we don't know. Here's the thing. Everything that we do on this planet, individually and collectively, affects everything that happens out in the universe.
Yes. Yes, I'm aware of it.
Anything that we do can change the timeline, can change the plans, can change the way things happen.
Right.
If someone opens up their mouth, or a certain somebody, you know, it doesn't matter who they are, they have to be, you know, somebody that's of validity and of importance, opens their mouth, well, they're going to change things up so that that timeline doesn't happen.
Exactly. Wendy, do you think that the date for disclosure is also flexible?
I think, to be honest with you, I think disclosure is happening as we speak, and it's leaking out.
Right.
I don't think it's coming out at all at once. I think it's leaking out in little
step by step.
Yes.
And it's building up.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, that comes to a point, here, Wendy and Gregory, that I found out something, that I saw on your website on Ready for the Shift about, Obama's speech from yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And I would just like to play the audio of that transmission where Obama talks about Roswell and the probable fake moon landings. He doesn't say they are fake, he's just questioning it. And after the transmission, it's only 1 minute, we can analyze it, okay?
Sure thing.
Here it comes.
Had a little fun at Donald Trump's expense at the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner. After enduring weeks of attacks by Trump that culminations with Obama going on television to show the wrong form of his birth certificate, Obama turned the tables on the Donald.
No one was prouder to put this birth certificate matter to rest than the Donovan. And that's because he can finally get back to focusing on the issues that matter. Like, did we fake the moon landing? What really happened in Roswell? And where are Biggie and Tupac? Just recently, in an episode of Celebrity Apprentice, at the steakhouse, the men's cooking team did not impress the judges from Omaha Steaks. And there was a lot of blame to go around, but you, Mr. Trump, recognized that the real problem was a lack of leadership. And so ultimately, you didn't blame Little John, Meatloaf.
Okay, guys. That was Obama. So what can you say about it, Wendy?
You know, it's funny. I love Obama. He has quite a sense of humor.
Oh, yes, yes.
But I think that it's time to kind of put the humor aside and tell us what's really going on. You know, he's been upfront with us up until a point, and then he started being very careful with his words, and now he's starting to, you know, defend himself, is what it seems, in the public's eye. And, you know, I've gotten a few people, actually, believe it or not, that have sent me nasty comments on my site. They are not posted, but they are saying that Obama is part of the Illuminati. Don't listen to anything he says. He's part of this whole plan. He knows exactly what's going on. And I don't know what to think of that either.
Well, I must tell you that in the, let's say, circle of the light workers, there is an amount of light workers that is supporting Obama, and an amount of light work is that is completely against him. And that is, for me, a bit confusing.
Oh, yeah.
I think some people think that whoever is the puppet of the year that's put in charge has to be working for them.
Yes.
So to some people, it's a given. But if you look at Obama's platform when he came in, you know, it's, you know, improving the infrastructure, the education, you know, the way we do trade, you know, closer to, you know, that utopia that we're all looking for in small steps. So I think this is one reason why Wendy and I backed it when it came in. Now, the thing that people didn't understand is it is a collective effort. One man could not do it by himself, and everybody agreed. They said, yes, we can. They didn't say, yes, you can. And without everybody else writing in letters and supporting what he's trying to do and just sitting there waiting for him to do it, well, you know what? It's never going to happen. And so people wake up and realize that and get behind him, you know, and maybe with this whole Osama bin Laden thing now, it will happen. Maybe he'll be seen as some kind of savior in some people's eyes. I don't know. But there was something interesting you said on a program you had on the other station yesterday, or the day before, Martin, where someone was mentioning that Obama might be a triple agent. And I didn't exactly understand what they meant by that. And I was wondering if you could explain that.
What he means by triple agents, he's working for the light, of course, and then he's working as a human being, and he's working for the Galactic Federation with the Earth Allies, but mm-hmm. then maybe he's a, how do you say, quadruple agent, mm-hmm. because he is acting and working together with the people in the White House. He has to do things that are asked from him, but he's just acting in it. He's just playing the role, but he's after he has the space, he will really talk from his own identity, and I don't think this will take long anymore.
Yeah,
I think he's getting at the point where he's very frustrated with the media, he's very frustrated with people, and I think it's gotten to the point, and he's a Leo.
he was actually born the day after me, and I was so excited. I'm finally older than a U.S. president.
Hey, mate. Well, and then there's something, now we are talking about Obama. that I prepared for you to comment on is a hidden message. It's a friend of me, Luc Christians, from the Netherlands, who also listens to my radio, so he sent me an email today. And actually, Obama said one sentence when he was speaking about Osama, and he put a hidden message, and it goes as follows. So the Mayas should be welcomed by all who believe in peace and human dignity. So, that's, that you understand it, and then here you hear it from Obama himself. Here it comes.
Bring her on. Says the Mayas should be welcomed by all who believe in peace and human dignity.
Did you hear that?
Yes. Yes.
Lovely.
Absolutely lovely. And you know, I've been posting about things that, actually just last night about, the women or the people in Bahrain.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. Yes.
You know, they're getting beaten, they're getting, tortured, you know, there's 50 people already that they don't know where they are, that these, Bahrain government officials have taken them somewhere. You know, this all has to do with the human rights, things that are happening in Yemen, things that are happening, you know, all over the world right now, really. I mean, there are people in the U.S. that are protesting for their rights on certain subjects.
So many people,
even if people are protesting.
What is that?
Well, I was saying that people are protesting, and sometimes it's even not mentioned on the television network.
There's just so much distraction, you know? I mean, we had, what, 337 people die here from the tornadoes? But people seem to be more interested in the royal wedding for some reason. It was all over the TV.
Oh, terrible, yeah.
You know, but they weren't showing the devastation, you know? And a lot of my friends on Facebook were talking about the wedding, and I'm like, guys, you know, we have a whole bunch of people that just died.
Yes, you know? Yes. And what, the tornadoes, it was unprecedented and very intense.
Yeah.
And it just happened, and then was a royal wedding. And some of my friends on Facebook posted a blog that the money that was spent on the wedding, it's like 168 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
That we could feed all children of Africa for one day. Only one day.
Yeah, you know, he should have been like his mother and, you know, donated all that money.
Well, you know, it's nice that they did open up a charity in lieu of wedding gifts.
He did. He's very much like his mother, though, so he does a lot of charity. But, you know, I really honestly, that's the other thing. Speaking of people that are wealthy in the world, I don't think that that should be the case. I think that everybody should have the same amount of wealth. I think that everybody should have the same amount of things. There should be no, someone has something better than another. You know, it is, everyone has the same stuff, the same amount of money and the same amount of things. It can't be where one person, you know, has, or many people have, an abundance of money, and then there's people starving in this world, in Ethiopia and Cambodia and Africa, and, you know, it's like, how can that be? How can that be? How is that possible?
It's clear that those people in power, that are keeping all the wealth for themselves, at some point they will be forced by the Galactic Federation and the Earth Allies to hand over the power to we the people.
Yeah,
I mean, it's funny. I was saying to my husband the other day, I said, I think I'm just going to cut down the tree in my front yard and put some ink on it and bring it into a store and see what they I was like, how ridiculous. We're sitting here worshiping trees and ink and presidents' faces on the ink that actually now look like Monopoly money. Because the faces are so huge. I don't know. I just think it's really stupid that we have money.
It is, yes. But what I understand from Sheldon Idle and Salusa is that after all the disclosure messages happened, let's say it's happening gradually, that after that there will be an abundance program. What can you say about the abundance program, Wendy?
Well, I've read about the abundance program, and actually, you know, from, Nasara?
Yes.
And I actually think it's something that could actually work, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, for instance, I think about all the money that I have paid towards credit cards. I'm like, I must have paid my stuff or for my stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100 times over. You know, I mean, our house, our mortgage, we must have paid for our house 100 times over as well. You know, we're already going on our, like, 17th year paying a mortgage on this, on Greg, you know, Greg's been paying this house. So, it's like, how much money do you think that, you know, they're saying that we can each get, what, $3 million back?
I heard $3 million, I heard $10 million will be distributed. I don't know where they're pulling these numbers from.
I'm not sure exactly.
I'm not sure, but what I can say is that I think that your wish will come true, Wendy, that eventually money will not be needed anymore when we have experienced the abundance program. And sometime around 2012 or later, when we will ascend, we will live in a world without money. Because I think in our galaxy, the Earth, Gaia, is the only planet where money exists.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, from what I understand, this is something that, you know, we all signed up for.
Oh, yes, yes. In our contract.
In our contract, correct.
Yes.
Something that we had signed up for prior to being on this planet, prior to even, you know, being born. You know, we all signed contracts to do what we needed to do. Because these kind of issues have happened time and time again in other galaxies, and we, as a collective, if you will, have destroyed all these other galaxies. And this is the last time. We're not going to be doing that anymore. And everything is going to be the way it should be. And everybody is going to be living in nirvana.
I mean, when I personally, Martin, when people ask me what it's going to be like, just to give them a vision, I point them to the Venus Project, you know, with the whole Zeitgeist movement. And the only thing people seem to have the biggest problem with is not money, but one world government. And how can we possibly, with so many different cultures in the world, have everybody agree under one person? And I said, with peace, you know, it's possible, but that's one that's really tough for me to verbalize, you know, and talk about a one world government. It's easier for me to talk about sharing resources than it is for who's going to control and how they're going to do it. And that's the only piece of the puzzle I haven't figured out.
Controlling us, it's just that there will be representatives from all over the world creating a world government. What do you think, Gregory?
Yeah, well, it's probably going to be more like a United Nations type of situation, I think. I think you're probably right with maybe, you know, presidents from any country that, you know, they say in the future we're supposed to have, you know, the spiritual leaders are supposed to be our celebrities. So I imagine they'll be part of government as well.
Oh, yeah, we might be. We might be friends in the future.
Yeah.
Fly our own flying saucers and have meetings.
Come over for lunch.
You know, I told Greg a while ago, I said, you know, humans miss the boat. Our technology is so, it's not what it should be. We should be way more advanced than we are.
Oh.
And also me being in the computer field, you know, and I studied it and studied the history of it, you know, and the first computer that was out, ENIAC, you know, I studied all about that, And knowing that the internet and computers have been around like 30, 40 years or if not more than before we even knew about it. I mean, it came around in like the early 90s. How can people miss that? How can people just totally miss that they kept the information from us?
And how can all the good inventions come from the government?
Also, the other thing I was saying to my husband, I said, you know, if you look at things like bumper cars, how are they, they're almost like hovercrafts, if you will, with the magnetic field and electricity.
Yep.
Okay? Well, if we had those, why the heck are we not in hovercrafts?
We're in some kind of magnetic, track system or something, if we've had that for years.
But we missed it. Because it's an amusement park, and you're not there to look at it like that. You're there to look at it as it's fun.
Andy and Greg, have you heard about zero-point energy?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, it's really funny. Right after I awakened last November, a friend of mine pointed me to, the TED videos. And the first one I watched was Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yes.
Which started reading his stuff and browsing around, and it brought me to David Wilcock, which brought me to Steve Becko, and, that's how it was kind of my path here. And, the free energy stuff is amazing. You know, we've been looking into that. A friend of ours in our Yahoo group actually bought a book that was on Facebook, advertised, with a whole bunch of free Tesla free energy generators in it. So the girl didn't know how to make heads or tails of it, since Wendy's, knows electronics as well as I. She sent it over to us, so we're starting to look through the stuff and possibly going to go out and start building something. You know, they have on the site, one of the easy ones they had for $2 in parts, at the Radio Shack or the Tandy, you can make your own cell phone charger that uses 0 point energy. It makes 2.2 volts. So just amazing stuff.
This is where we'll go to eventually with our society globally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have to. I really think we have to, Martin.
Yes, Gaia will not allow us for much longer to use nuclear energy and carbon-based fuels.
Yeah, I love the fact that Germany stepped up and said no more.
Yeah, very good, yes. And then there's one little question I have for you guys. Would you like that I open the telephone lines so that people can call in and ask questions?
Sure, why not?
Okay, you're listening to ET First Contact Radio on BBS Station 1, and if you want to call in and ask questions to Gregory Zangari or Wendy Zangari from ReadyForTheShift.com, you can call 888-815-9756. And if you are outside of the United States or Canada, the number to call is 001-888-815-9756. Thank you, and welcome to the show. And we have Gregory Zangari and Wendy Zangari, a wonderful couple from Philadelphia. We have a wonderful website. Wendy created the website, readyforthisshift.com. And Wendy is a friend of Steve Becko and Indie 2012 Info. Is that correct, Wendy?
That is correct.
Yes. And I must tell you that since I interviewed Steve Becko, things are really developing on my radio show. I get more invitations. I mean, I should invite people, but people contact me if I can interview them. And it's wonderful. They're coming on my path, and it's all developing so naturally.
That's wonderful. Really wonderful, Martin. You sound like you've been doing this for years and years. You're very much a natural at talk radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Gregory. Well, and it's wonderful to have you guys on the show. And I must tell you that I'm on BBS Radio only since March. And I started on Finding Voices Radio, the other station. I think it was late November last year. Yeah. But things are really developing in a good way. And soon we'll have
we can all help each other. And yes, that's what the philosophy is doing.
Yes. And soon I will have this guy from Exopolitics. His name is Alfred Lombard Weber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have Sheldon Idol on the 14th of April, but he went through a spiritual renaissance. So I hope that Sheldon and Pauline will contact me soon so that I can have an interview with them.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I look forward. Looking forward.
I'm very much looking forward to Sheldon.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
No.
That's great.
Do you guys listen to the webinar from Sheldon Idol?
We have not. Have you?
I've seen 10 or 11 from them. They are $15 per webinar, and it's like 1.5 hours of very thorough and detailed information. It's wonderful.
Let's check it out.
His website is paoweb.com.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there several times. It's a very nice site.
And the people from the Galactic Channeling.com, you know Galactic Channeling, the website?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they also post Sheldon's messages and translate it into many languages, and those people are also contributing to a better world to share this wonderful information.
Yeah, I know you have Mike Quincy as a guest before. Have you ever had Susie Warburg on?
No, I hadn't. I could invite her. I think Steve has her contact details.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of videos of interviews of her, and she's such a lovely lady. So nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good idea. I will keep it in mind.
Yeah, I think when Wendy first had her major awakening, you know, one of the reasons we're here is, you know, our guides told us was to kind of wake each other up. And I started looking at all the disclosure stuff probably January, February, and I kept bugging Wendy, look at this. And she was ready to hit me over the head.
Yeah.
And then one night I was asleep. She woke me up about 2 in the morning. She said, I saw this most amazing UFO video. She said, so that was the point that Steve was starting his Yahoo group around March 3rd. And, you know, I got involved with that. And Wendy was afraid I was getting involved with some kind of cult. So who is this Steve that you're saying he's a great researcher? So, you know, why don't you tell him what you did? You went to the site.
Oh, yeah, I went to his site. I, you know, looked all about him and his credentials, of course. And I, you know, I gave him the thumbs up. And then I read a little bit further, and I read about Matthew Ward. And it really kind of struck me because his mother channels him, or he channels his mother through his mother. And, you know, I had the same experience when I was talking to my late fiancé, Matthew, ironically enough. And I was talking to him after he was killed. And, you know, that was the very first time in 2003 that I'd ever really talked with anyone from the fourth dimension. I had a friend of mine who was killed when I was 11, and I went to go visit her grave. The last time was when I was like 19, but like she hasn't come to me, nor has my grandmother or my grandfather or anyone else. It's just my late fiance Matthew, my mom. And my father. And my guides, actually. I've spoken to, St. James. I've spoken to, I don't know if I want to say this one.
Go ahead.
Alright. Well, I have spoken to A.A. Michael, and he's spoken to me, in regards to my own path. You know, so I can hear. I'm very clairaudient.
Who's talking about the other one?
Who?
A scientist.
Oh, Albert Einstein. He's another one of my guides.
That's interesting. My friend Bernard and I, we are both interested in spiritual matters, and he's very much interested in the way that Albert Einstein's thinking worked. Excuse me. How his thinking worked, and that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I know, and I was wondering why me.
Well, especially since you're never a science person, and when you started getting into this, before you even found out about Einstein, Wendy got a huge interest in quantum mechanics. And she had never been interested in physics before, and I said, where did this come from?
I don't know.
You know, and then
all of a sudden I started researching it.
And you work with computers. Did you hear about quantum computers already?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting stuff, I think.
It is. You know, now they're like doing, right now they're doing cloud computing. And I would consider that somewhere in the quantum computing, almost.
But
science fiction.
Yeah. You know, you'll see storage in crystals before long.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll see data storage in crystals. We've got all the cues from science fiction, you know? And we see them all. You know, and most of these things, you know, we find out from different covert projects, they're around. I was wondering why I've been so attracted to Stargate from the day it came out. You know, I started off reading, you know, Eric Von Däniken back in the 70s, and, you know, once I saw Stargate, I'm like, this is it. This is real. This goes on. I know it. And I was just so sure of it, you know? And to hear that, you know, that whole Project Pegasus, you know, and that was confirmed, boy, was I blown away.
You have been in a Stargate like Astrum Stargate with all those crystal balls?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question right.
Well, have you been in a Stargate that's called the Astrum Stargate with crystal balls?
No. No, I was talking about the television program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, just the fact that, you know, the ancient aliens were gods, etc., and that whole paradigm. As well as wormholes being able to go to different dimensions and or planets. You know, I always thought that was possible, and now here it is, so good stuff.
Well, and I was just wanting to mention that you were speaking about crystals and storing information into crystals. Well, yeah. As transistors, who are the core circuits in a chip, in an integrated circuit, they are crystalline. They are silicium germanide or barium selenide or all those kinds of crystalline amorph structure.
Yeah, and I'm talking about a crystal based hard drive where you would have, you know, a crystal in your pocket that's now your USB storage, if you will. Because apparently, based on its 3D structure, you can, store a vast amount of information, you know, in a 3D way in a crystal, from what I've read in the past. And I know that's something they've been working on as well.
That's something else I would like to ask you, Wendy. You spoke about the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
Do you know about Dr. Susan Carroll from multidimensions.com?
I've heard of her. I've not read her stuff as of yet. You guided me to her site, but
yeah,
I haven't read
the meditation.
Yeah, but I haven't read any of her stuff yet.
Right. Well, she's quite interesting. She's in contact with the Arcturians, and she often speaks about the Arcturian corridor and the ascension process. And she also has a radio show, by the way, on BBS Radio.
How about that? What is her radio show called?
I don't know by head, but I think it's called the Arcturian Ascension Process, or something with the Arcturians, or multi-dimension, I'm not sure. But you can find it out on the archives from BBS Radio.
Yeah, I've read some of her stuff on different dimensions, and I find it really fascinating.
Yes, it is. It's amazing.
You know, it's you know, for me, it's like, I think what we're trying to do is make ascension as smooth as possible, so we do have some of that abundance and sharing and love happening before the December 21st date. But I have a gut feeling on December 21st, that's when we go to the 4th, and we're going to spend a little while there and move on to the 5th after that at some point. But, you know, you kind of think that if we do go to the 4th, doesn't that mean our physical bodies die? And that's the part I'm trying to have a grasp of. I know our bodies are going to be completely different, but, you know, make that move to the fourth, does the world have to, the world, the third dimensional world have to be destroyed, if you will, if it will, you know?
I don't think that the third dimensional world needs to be destroyed. I think that the third dimensional world is being transformed into a fifth dimensional world. From a body that we have now with DNA structures, with carbon, that are carbon-based, will move to a body structure that is more light, more etheric, and that will be fifth dimensional. It's like a morphing process, not that one has to be eliminated before the other can come online.
Right. And, you know, that's how I kind of understand it. I just don't understand how the transition itself will occur. It's, you know, I don't think we're going to wake up one morning and look out the window and it's all going to be different. I just don't know how it's going to happen. That's the part that's still a mystery to me.
Well, yes, I think it's gradual indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some people say 6 years, 9 years, 10 years, 30 years, and I've heard some people say, you know, within a matter of months. So, you know, after the 2012 date. So, I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Thinking about months. It's a thing I have. I don't know what about you, Wendy, but I think that this summer will be a summer like we never had before.
You know, I'll tell you something. From what I understand, and I don't know how I know this, just something that I know. Right now, we're going into the fourth dimension as we speak. So it's almost like it's a progression, and we're already in it.
You mean like 1 foot in?
We're already going through it. We're already, our time span, time here is not the same as time in space.
Well, that's interesting what you're saying, Wendy, because I read today in Salusa that time is speeding up, and I'm missing time sometimes. It's not strange. I was with a friend who owns another radio station in the car, and the sun was staying on the same angle in the sky for hours. And then when we arrived at the house of my parents, the sun went down to the horizon from an angle of 30 degrees in a matter of 5 minutes.
Wow.
And before yesterday, I was outside with my friends on a lake here in Rotterdam, and we were having a walk, and the same thing happened. The sun had an angle of maybe 15 degrees, went down in 1 minute.
Wow.
So time is sometimes really speeding up, sometimes it's locked, or timelines are coming together, and that's four-dimensional.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I want to mention, you know, as the ending of this, is that when you go to sleep, it is very important that you get restorative sleep, because this is when they work on you. This is when they actually, you know, the galactics, they actually, you know, help with the transition of your DNA. There have been parts of it for me that have been painful. Greg has been getting shocks all over his body. I've been getting, pains behind my ears. Unusual things as well. And this is, you know, and you can tell them to tone it down, so it doesn't hurt as much, because it can. It's like growing pains. It's like a child.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced it as well. Sometimes I have itching places on my arms, red spots, and then they disappear again, and they come back on the other place, or sometimes I have pain in my knee or in my heel. So those are ascension symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and also here's another thing that's kind of an interesting thing that's happened to me since 2008. Ever since I've gone to the doctors, and I've been to 3 doctors' offices, you know, that have had this happen. They cannot use a digital blood pressure cuff on me. It won't work.
What's that?
A digital blood pressure cuff.
Oh, yes, I understand, yes.
It won't work on me. Won't work.
You have to use the old-fashioned, you know, hand pump sphygmomanometers.
Something with my electrical field in my body since 2008 makes it so that that machine no longer works for me.
Interesting.
At all.
You drain batteries pretty well, too.
Yes.
I don't know if it's you or the visitors that come to visit you. So, it might have something to do with that, too.
I think you're the only one, Wendy. I didn't have a blood pressure test for a long time, but I will let you know when I have the same result as you have.
I'll be looking forward for that to that information.
Well, in fact, there were no callers today, but normally I always end 1 minute before the hour. So that we can round up, and it was wonderful to have you, Wendy and Gregory.
It was wonderful to be here, Martin. Thank you so much for inviting us. It's an honor.
Yeah, thanks for having us, and keep up the great work. You're one of the awesome light workers out there. Just keep doing the good stuff and keep fighting a good fight, buddy.
Well, and I will be following your website for the next time, and I want to thank the listeners for joining us. And I'll be back on Sunday on Finding Voices, and next Monday I will have a special guest called Dr. Alfred Weber from exopolitics.com. And I want to thank you, and just hold on the line, and I will see you all next week. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.